Good morning, and welcome to the United Financial third quarter earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. Please note, this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Marlise Shaw. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Frank. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our third quarter conference call. Before we begin, we would like to remind you to read our safe harbor advisement on forward-looking statements on our earnings announcement. Forward-looking statements, by their nature, are subject to risks and uncertainties. Certain factors could cause actual results to differ materially from our expected results. Our comments today are intended to qualify for the safe harbor afforded by that advisement. And now I would like to introduce Bill Crawford, our Chief Executive Officer.
Thanks, Marlise. Good morning, and thank you for joining us on today's call and for your continued interest in our company. With me this morning, I have Eric Newell, our CFO, and several other members of our executive team. I'm pleased to report that on a year-to-date basis, on average in 2015, our company has delivered an ROA of 95 basis points, and an ROE of 8.67% in a difficult operating environment for banks. Over the last two quarters, we've averaged 18% commercial loan growth with three straight quarters of consistent loan-level hedge income. We've also delivered three strong consecutive quarters of mortgage banking income. We've done this while reducing the duration of earning assets and positioning for an eventual rise in interest rates. This quarter, we've included more robust disclosures on our interest rate sensitivity. I think you'll see we're well positioned here. Fundamentally, we don't believe bankers can predict interest rates, so our aim is not to stray too far from the neutral line. Our non-interest expense was elevated in the third quarter due to technology consulting and increased debit card losses. Over the last 4.75 years, we've grown assets and earnings at about a 30% compound annual growth rate. As we continue to grow, technology can help us more effectively and efficiently serve our customers. We will be making modest incremental investments in this area. The consulting is temporary, but will persist through the fourth quarter of 2015. Debit card losses and expenses spiked due to changes with EMV. Eric Newell will cover this in more detail in his comments. While we're not giving guidance for 2016, here's how I think about our upcoming year. Yes, we have headwinds, accretion burns down, and the tax rate increases, and it looks like we may not get the interest rate increases we had all hoped for. That said, our ability to generate loan growth has become even stronger. We've shown consistency in growth in fee income in 2015, and we can drive better execution here going forward. As we implement our new cash management system, we can drive higher DDA deposit growth. Controlling non-interest expense and funding costs will continue to be critical in this low-rate environment. As we've done for the last four-plus years, we will remain focused on executing for our customers every day, and this will drive our ability to continue growing both earnings per share and tangible book value per share. I want to thank all of my United Bank teammates for their hard work and delivering for clients every day. Now I'll turn the call over to our CFO, Eric Newell.
Thanks, Bill. Good morning. Yesterday, we reported net income of $13.4 million, or 27 cents per diluted share for our third quarter, flat from our linked quarter performance. Today, I'll focus on two items. First, our expense management and financial performance during the quarter, and then our new disclosure regarding our interest rate risk position and discussion of our net interest margin. For the first time since our quarter ending in September 2014, we reported an increase in net interest income before provision, which was driven by our 15% annualized loan growth in both the second and third quarters of 2015. Revenue in the quarter decreased $813,000 to $49.5 million, while expenses increased by $1.5 million to $31.9 million in the quarter. Revenue declined in the third quarter from the linked period, largely due to mortgage banking. The $733,000 decrease in mortgage banking revenue was due in large part because of the valuation of our mortgage servicing rights, which decreased in value by $1.3 million in the quarter. While expenses increased in the quarter, they were driven by three factors that will subdue in 2016. First, we elected to engage in consultancy that will assist us in our information technology strategy and help us identify and implement best industry practices. We view this as a necessary investment to keep our products and services in line with our constituencies, and we believe it will result in improved efficiencies and operating leverage when our strategies are fully implemented and any additional expenses will not significantly increase our expense run rate. Second, we had expenses in the third quarter related to the planned fourth quarter mass deployment of EMV debit and credit cards, which are more costly than magstrip cards. Related to the EMV switchover, and thirdly, our debit card losses have significantly increased throughout the year, and we would anticipate that this type of fraud will become more difficult as EMV cards are deployed. These three noted items resulted in increased expense over our second quarter run rate totaling $1.3 million, which is nearly all of the increase experienced from the linked quarter. We will see some of the same expenses in our fourth quarter, particularly with regard to the consultant spend, and I suspect we will remain elevated with our consumer debit card losses due to fraud. We continue to have favorable metrics when looking at our efficiency ratio as well as the ratio of non-interest expenses to average assets when compared to our peers. As discussed in the second quarter call, we continue to have expenses related to the sales of our loan-level hedges as well as commissions paid to our mortgage bankers. For the first time this quarter, in our earnings release presentation, we disclose net mortgage banking revenue, which removes the commissions paid to our bankers in the respective period. In the third quarter, this disclosure will lead you to see that we had $1.4 million of commissions in our non-interest expense line. I'd like to spend some time discussing our interest rate risk positioning and net interest margin. First, you'll notice in our investor presentation released last night a new disclosure pertaining to our interest rate risk position under different beta assumptions for our money market accounts, which is the most significant assumption in our modeling. We are reporting the net interest income impact given a 300 basis point parallel shock to rates and several different beta assumption scenarios. As you can see, we have been using a fairly conservative assumption, which has caused us to be viewed as liability sensitive. However, if we experience lower betas when rates rise, our sensitivity to rising interest rates is significantly different from what we have previously disclosed. This data supports my comments earlier this year that assumptions on betas across companies are vastly different and sensitivity disclosures are very dependent on those beta assumptions. This leads me into a discussion pertaining to our net interest income. Despite the favorable loan growth that we've experienced year to date, our net interest income revenue has been flat and our core net interest margin continues to compress. This is largely by design. Over the last 5 to 6 quarters, we have pulled in the duration of our commercial loan book by over 1 year, largely by the writing of loan-level swaps, which results in adding adjustable rate paper to our book. Along with the sale of the majority of most of our 15 and 30-year residential mortgage production, the duration of our earning assets has fallen significantly, which should position us more ideally for rising interest rates. Noteworthy in the third quarter is the low-level of prepayment fee income we received relative to the second quarter. When you exclude prepayment income from both quarters, the yield on loans would have declined by 4 basis points. On the funding side, you may recall that we discussed in the prior quarter our promotional pricing for money market accounts, which ended on June 30th, and I noted the expectation that we will have an improvement in the cost of interest-bearing deposits in the second half of the year. We started to see that improvement in the third quarter. Our wholesale funding costs rose in the third quarter as we increased the duration of that funding sleeve, again in an effort to position the balance sheet for higher short-term interest rates. This leads me to expectations. Relating to the net interest margin, coming into 2015, it was fairly easy to model the expectation of gap and core net interest margin because of the expectation of flat rates throughout the year. For 2016, this is not as easy given the uncertainty regarding short-term rates and the duration of a potential flatter yield curve if the Federal Reserve strives for normalization. We have worked to position the balance sheet for a rising rate environment. If that were to come to fruition, it would largely slow our core NIM compression, but I do not expect that it would reverse in the first year. However, we do have large pipelines and expect that larger loan balances will drive net interest income growth. The experience we've had with loan growth at approximately 15% annualized for the last couple of quarters is expected to continue. If we do not get an increase in short-term rates, we may seek to balance our approach on bringing in the duration of assets with adding some more moderate-term paper. However, given the duration of the current interest rate environment, we will continue to see assets originated at higher rates 4 to 5 years ago repriced or mature to current interest rates seen in the market. We will continue to focus on our funding costs as well as our initiatives to grow DDA as a percentage of total deposits, which will have the effect of improving our cost of funds. The 4-year compound annual growth rate of our EPS is approximately 30%. And while we do not expect EPS growth at that level in 2016, we do have expectations that positive operating leverage from investments we made in the business in late 2014 and 15 and throughout 2015 will better drive revenue growth from net interest income and fees in 2016. All other expectations for 2016 pertaining to purchase accounting benefit from loans, effective tax rate, and the partnership that expense that supports that tax rate remain intact from what I disclosed on the second quarter earnings call. Thank you for your time this morning, and now the management team and I would be happy to answer any questions you have.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your questions, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question comes from Mark Fitzgibbons from Chamber O'Neill. Please go ahead.
It's Sandler O'Neill, but thank you. Hey, guys, first question, good morning. On the tax rate, Eric, it was a little lower than we expected in the third quarter, and I know you've sort of given guidance of 25 to 28% for next year for the effective tax rate. How are you thinking about it for the fourth quarter?
I would say that fourth quarter will be 16%.
16%. Okay, great. And then secondly, I wondered if you could share with us the size of the commercial loan pipelines today and maybe the average rate on that?
You know what? We do disclose the we have not disclosed the notional amount of the commercial pipeline, but on the presentation deck, you'll notice that what we do is provide a probability-adjusted commercial pipeline. So relative to what we showed at the end of June 30th, it's pretty much the same level, and so I think that level will support the growth that we've been showing for the last few quarters. In terms of a rate, what we do whenever we have quotes out there is we'll quote a variable rate, so we have a loan level hedge associated with it, or a fixed rate. So I would expect that the rate would be similar to what we've been putting on the books for the last couple of quarters.
Okay. And then prepayment penalty income was a little softer this quarter. What's your outlook for prepayment penalty income, do you think, over the next quarter or two?
You know what? Generally, Mark, do you have a view on that?
I would think, you know, driven a lot by kind of the refi, if you will, when rates had come down. So that level has slowed a bit, so I would anticipate the prepays to slow a bit, commercial as well.
So I think that, you know, you could expect soft prepay income in the fourth quarter as well.
Great. Thank you.
And the next question comes from Travis Land from KBW.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Eric, could you just break down a little bit more granularly the technology expense and kind of give us a better idea as to what amount could recur in the fourth quarter, and then just is that the last that you expect to see of it?
Sure. So right now we're disclosing the professional fee line. I would say that number that we disclosed for the level that we have in the third quarter will be the same in the fourth quarter. I know you had a couple of questions in there.
Yeah, sorry about that. I know I asked multiple questions at one time. Okay, so that stays the same, but the other portion of maybe that $1.4 million, Will that run off in the fourth quarter, so we won't see that in the fourth quarter?
I would say that you're going to – I mean, we're not going to have the repeated costs of the deployment of the EMV cards, because that was a one-time bulk purchase that we made on those cards. However, that the consumer fraud is likely going to continue, just because it's going to take us some time to get the folks off of the MagStrip cards to the EMV cards, and that doesn't even mean that the debit or the losses will go away. So of the 1.4 million, I would say probably 75% of that repeats in the fourth quarter.
Okay. All right, that's helpful. And then you'd said that you expect net interest income growth despite core NIM compression. I mean, when you're thinking about net interest income growth, is that inclusive of accretion impacts or just kind of core net interest income?
Core.
Okay. All right. And then, I understand that you have customers that obviously want fixed rate loans and your swap strategy protects your asset sensitivity. But is there a point at which you feel you would have enough floating rate exposure and you would then be willing to kind of keep the fixed rate? Or is this something that's just you would expect, keep putting on the swaps to protect your asset sensitivity?
Hey, Travis, it's Bill Crawford. We look at that all the time, and it's, there's always a trade-off there. And the good thing is we have the ability to be opportunistic there. If we want to do fixed rates, we can, generally drive more toward fixed rates. If we want to do the loan-level hedges and take the variable, we can, generally drive that. Not with all of our customers, but with our larger, more sophisticated customers, and that's where a lot of our loan growth comes from.
Furthermore, Travis, we look at everything on an ROE or our RAROC basis. So there are situations where a fixed rate asset will have a more favorable ROE to us than a variable rate, and in that case, we would be willing to book that type of asset.
Got it. Okay. All right. And then the last one, Bill, just obviously you guys are getting really strong commercial growth from your relatively new lending teams. How do you think about the potential for adding additional hires to support the growth trajectory there?
We are always looking for great talent. But the good thing is the teams we have now have very large pipelines and are, really hitting their stride. We're always opportunistic looking for other teams that can bring significant value to us.
Got it. All right. Thank you very much.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. This concludes our question and answer session, and I'd like to turn the conference back over to Bill Crawford for any closing remarks.
Okay, guys. Well, we've had 26 cents, 27 cents, and 27 cents, and so we're focused on building consistency. We appreciate your interest in the company, and we'll look forward to seeing you all soon. Take care.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect the line.